Good morning. I have this awesome voice thing going on today. It's just awesome. So you ought to experience it sometime. It's great for speaking too. I've been at camp all week. Last Sunday afternoon, I left for camp. And by that night, I was sick and had a fever and I don't even know what all else. And I basically haven't had a voice all week. Which was awesome to have no voice at camp all week, too. I apologize that you have to put up with it this morning, and it is what it is. So good thing is that we're doing something a little different today, and I'm not preaching a normal message like I normally do. And in fact, have invited someone else to share their story of what God has done in their life. And specifically today, I want us to be reminded of something, and that's this. God has a plan. God has a plan. You may be in the craziest moment, season of your life right now, but if anything you walk away from today with is this, God has a plan. There is more to this life than we ever know. Moment by moment, the things that happen that we can't explain and that we wish that we could. And I'm with you. I've got a lot of those things I would love to explain. And one day, you know, we'll have those answers. But, you know, I think that we have to be reminded that God has a plan. And so I've invited a friend to share today. And we're going to see a video first and then get to meet him in person. So let's go ahead and let's watch this together.
My name is Mark West, and I'm a father of four great kids. My story goes back a couple of years. I was reading my Bible one day, and this scripture came to me that I'd read before out of 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 9 through 14. And it's about Elijah and the still small voice, where Elijah is running from Jezebel. He's running for his life. And he stops in a cave. And he actually asks God, you know, please take my life. He had it. He was at the end of his rope. I couldn't get past it. This passage just kept coming back up, back up, back up. But God asked him a simple question. He said, Elijah, what are you doing here? And for years, I printed that phrase out, that question out. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? And worked at trying to understand what is it? Why am I here? What am I doing here? What's this greater purpose? And for the life of me, I didn't see what was coming. In November of 2012, I started to get a glimpse of the trials that I was about to encounter. It was then that my wife was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, 43 years old. And a mother of four children diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. That was quite a blow to our family, to our hopes and dreams as a family. And without me even realizing it or even paying attention to it, this question of what are you doing here started to become a theme for my life that was ultimately intended to help me get through this ordeal. My wife went through in December of 2012 a very complicated procedure called a Whipple. And then went on to go through 6 months of chemotherapy, all while we had four active young kids, and I had a business and self-employed, and we had no family in town. And the experience, the weight of it all became overwhelming. After 6 months of chemotherapy, her newest scans showed the disease recurring. She suffered immensely. I watched, my children watched her in a tremendous amount of pain, you know, bi-weekly trips to the emergency room. You know, she was staying in the hospital 2 weeks out of every month for 6 months. My own personal struggles, trying to be a supportive husband, a father, a breadwinner, it became overwhelming. She went from hospitals to hospice, and then on April 11th, 2014, she went on to be with the Lord. My children, her family, everybody, you know, we saw it coming, but it still couldn't prepare us for the pain of losing a spouse, of losing a mother, a friend. But through it all, for every struggle, for every stumbling block, we got to experience two times the amount of grace, two times the amount of love. God's love sent to us through so many people, so many churches, so many friends, so many people who are unchurched that just reached out to us. And we got to experience a level of grace that most people won't taste their entire lives. We got to see the love of God through the sacrifice of other people. And through that, God was glorified. Through that, so many lives were touched. Friends of mine, friends of my wife's, that don't even know the Lord, saw the love of God being expressed to our family, and their lives were changed. Through all of this struggle, through all of these trials, we had, as a family, we had the power to choose. To choose to turn from God, to wallow in self-pity, and to believe God had left us. But God had put in me, God had put in the hearts of my family, just a love and a trust in Him. We just believed that God is faithful and that God would be true to His word, and that everything, all things, work together for the good. The next summer, as a single father, things were very challenging. Working full-time, four kids, no family in town. It was extremely stressful. I had been to grief counseling for months. I had talked with many, many friends, pastors. There was just pain and heaviness and grieving process that was very difficult, not only in me, but in the lives of my four children. I went through some dark times in the summer of 2014. I questioned, where was God in this whole process? I went looking for God. I went looking for God in areas that I didn't need to be looking for God in places that He wasn't. When I finally stopped and said, God, what do I need to do to get through this? What do I need to do to get through this grieving, through this pain? Another scripture came to mind, and it was quite simple, and probably one that everyone has known from childhood. Just seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. I didn't know whether God was going to provide a new mother for my children, how He was going to take care of my business, And it wasn't until this verse was softly spoken into my heart that I realized God had this. And I prayed and I asked God for wisdom to what is the next step, what I need to do. And what came to me immediately was seek first the kingdom of God. And when I did that, I went to seek out an additional counselor. Through that process, I was on Facebook and I saw one of my high school classmates that I hadn't spoken to in 25 years. I saw that she was a counselor, and I thought, wow, maybe this is a path that God can use to help me, to help my family. She lived in Virginia at the time, and we got on the phone and started talking and reminiscing, and before you know it, the phone conversation lasted until 7:30 the next morning. It was at that point in time that I realized, wow, this, something's happening here. This is more than a counseling relationship. But I wasn't sure. I just knew that talking to her brought joy into my life. And I just believe that God was in the middle of our communications, of our circumstances. And then eventually, after about a month on the phone, we met for the first time in 25 years, and it was just an amazing encounter. Her heart, her spirit, just absolutely incredible. I went home, took the kids home to my hometown in Virginia for Christmas, and we spent some more time together. The kids met her. She was introduced as an old friend that I'd known. And before the evening was over, the first night my kids met her, it appeared like they had fallen in love with her. And they were just enamored. She has such a sweet heart. And the kids saw that immediately and just clung to it. Amy came to visit Tennessee, first time she'd ever been out here. Kids enjoyed being with her, and our relationship progressed, and we ended up getting engaged in April and got married May 1st. Amy was widowed 12 years ago and had always wanted children. She had gotten to a point in her life where she said, I'm never going to have kids, I'm never going to be married again. And we were both in a dark place at the same time, 700 miles away with no knowledge of each other's pain. And then God used circumstances and the whispering, the still small voice, the same one that he spoke to Elijah, to bring into my mind and to my heart to seek first the kingdom of God, to believe that he had good in store for me and for my house. And he showed himself beautifully, wonderfully, awesomely, and provided for our family a new mother, a bonus mom, and a wife that has just been amazing. And just all praise due to him for taking the broken pieces of our lives and merging them with the broken pieces of someone else's life and making a beautiful portrait.
I'm going to ask Mark to go ahead and join me. Come on up, Mark. Y'all welcome Mark West. Mark and his family came to join us at 24 last year after turn of events. Mark, you want to tell that? Go ahead, tell that crazy story.
Yeah, very very interesting story for sure. Last summer, in the process of recovering and grieving, I have some property in Gillisville, and I thought I want to get that ready to sell. I want to clean it up and put a driveway in and put it on the market. And so I'd been talking to an excavator for a couple of months and finally had an opportunity to go out and meet the dozer operator on my project there, and get up on the hill, and I'm kind of showing him where the driveway needs to go and what trees to take out, and we got to talking, and he said, well, I'll be here. It was a Monday. He said, I'll be here Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. And I thought, well, it's been about 2 months waiting for this guy to show up on the site. And I said, I don't mean to sound like I'm prying or anything, but did Wednesday disappear from the work week or something? What's going on with that? And he said to me, well, I do this part-time, and I'm actually the youth pastor at 24 Church on Wednesdays. And I said, wow, this huge, burly, Grizzly Adams-looking guy who's up here on the side of the hill with me, and he's actually one guy that's bigger than I am. He's up here, we're sweating, it's 98 degrees, and he's a children's pastor. I would think he would have scared most children, but that's okay. We're talking, and he looks at me, and that kind of, just him announcing that, just that little invitation, that window, just kind of broke down some boundaries, some barriers, and we just started talking. And I share with him a little bit of my story that you just heard. And Jay just stopped and said, look, brother, man, I can't imagine what you've been through, but can I pray for you? I was like, yeah, absolutely. And he put his arm around me on the side of this hill in 98-degree heat, and he prayed for me and then just blessed my heart in a very difficult time last summer. And then as we were leaving, we finished up and he was leaving, and he said, look, you know, I know you're an architect, and you know, our church may be doing something here in the future. And I said, you don't have to say anything else. Just let me know how I can help. Just let me know how I can help. And out of a random hillside meeting in the middle of the summer, God reconnected me to 24 Church. And I say reconnected. We actually visited here when you were in the old school over here, 9 years ago? Mm-hmm. Hadn't been back since, but just with a simple arm around me and a prayer, God just planted a seed to say, I've got something I'm doing for you. And that's kind of what led me to reconnecting with Chris and this ministry.
So we'll jump around a little bit from the deal here. Jay talked to Mark about this. Mark is the architect who's been working on all this Building One stuff that you've seen. They do fantastic work. If you've seen the new dentist office in Pleasant View, they did that. Mark's heart for Jesus and his heart for the church is so huge. All this stuff, they made that animation right there. The drawing stuff you've seen. You know, we brought Mark in here just to kind of brainstorm with us one day. And if you remember, if you've been with us for a while, you know, at one point we were talking about, because this all came about, we need workspace, we need offices and that kind of thing. We were talking about trying to build backstage. Do we have the room, that kind of stuff to pull this off? And we brought Mark in. We had lunch with him. And then we came over here to look at this stuff. Well, it's Mark's fault that we're not building this stuff backstage, okay? I'll blame it on him. But no, for real, he brought up some very great points. He asked some questions about, what are you going to use this space for? And, how much do you need? And is the church going to continue to grow? And some of those kinds of things. And, one of the things was, if we continue to grow and we ever need to grow, we kind of have to grow out these directions through these walls, this wall here and then that wall at the other end of the building. And he said, if you ever wanted to do that, you'd probably have to tear all this out just to do that. So, maybe we need to look at something else. Well, I had a counseling appointment that day in the middle of all this. So I go and I do that, and the guys are with them, and they keep talking. And when I get done with my deal, I find them standing out here in the parking lot, and they're like looking. you know, and I walk out there. I was like, well, you guys figure anything out? And they're like, yeah, I think we're going to talk about maybe putting a building right here. I was like, okay, all right, that sounds good to me, whatever. And so Mark's, fingerprints and his guys are on this. They've done a great job. But one of the things about his heart is he so desperately has wanted to help us with this and this be about the kingdom. And folks, let me tell you, you have no idea how much the things that have happened here for us to do ministry here have been done through things like I'm about to tell you. And so many of you have been a part of that where you'd not charged money or, you know, whatever. But Mark so far has done all of this for sushi at Kurimoto. I mean, and that's not a lie. That's really not a lie. In the very beginning, it was kind of a running joke of like, you know, well, hey, I like sushi, and I'll work for sushi for as long as I can through this thing, you know. And so far, he actually really has done that. And he may not want me to tell that, but I'm telling it. And I tell it not to puff him up, but to say glory to God for people that are willing to do that kind of thing, that God would use people like that. Absolutely. Mark, we've been talking about the Building One stuff. If you're not familiar with the Building One stuff we've had going on, we've got these little folders and all that kind of stuff that hopefully explain this really well, the things that we've got going on and coming up and all that kind of stuff and how you can be involved. And there's a challenge and, committing to give and some of those kinds of things. You can look at all that stuff. We talked about a lot of that last weekend. Very extensively. I'm not going to talk about that very much today because of time and that kind of thing. We've got the blocks up here if you want to get one to commit to pray and as a reminder for you during the week and that kind of thing. But Mark, I wanted you to be able to share, you know, coming out of, you know, what you've been through, what God's brought you through, just a little bit of, what have you seen God do through all of this? What are some things that you've seen God do through this?
Well, one of the biggest blessings that obviously I've experienced and my children have experienced is God bringing Amy into our lives. Mm-hmm. Totally unexpected, and that's the way He works. Not based on our plans and our rationale and our thinking, but if you allow Him. If you allow Him room to just say, God, whatever you want, He will surprise you. And He surprised me. He surprised my kids, my family, and brought a wonderful God-loving woman into our lives. That definitely has been the number one glorious blessing that's happened in my life. The second opportunity that God has brought through all this pain, through the sacrifice of others and through the struggle, is an opportunity to be able to testify to His goodness in spite of the pain. I had an opportunity to speak at the YMCA in Springfield in early April and gave this testimony. Didn't have this fantastic video, and I'm going to pause. I got to do this. I missed it on the first service, but Jerry Walker is an absolute godsend and blessing to this church. I can tell you, I can testify right here today. I felt like he recorded this video, and I was like, oh my gosh, that was a jumbled mess. How in the world is he going to make anything out of it? And he blew my mind. And Jerry, I thank you for your sacrifice and service, and for taking my story and actually making it better than I could even tell. So this testimony opportunity is I had an opportunity in Springfield, and then when this opportunity opened up, I was like, yes, Lord. I just want to say yes, Lord. Just a couple of weeks ago, I get an email from a guy looking to kind of sublease some office space from my office in Jolton. And he came by, and we're looking in the corner, and he's a Christian guy. I know him. I know some of his family. And I said, well, are you on Facebook? And he's like, well, no. And I said, so you may not know what's been happening in the last year since my wife passed. And he's like, well, no. And so I said, well, sit down if you want. And so we talked, and this 47-year-old man sat on my couch in my office with his hands on his knees, weeping. and then said, you know what, this, you need to tell this story. Would you come and speak at our church? And I was, well, yes, Lord. There's my answer again. Yes, Lord. And that's supposed to be set up and happening in the next few weeks. And it's you know, so that just another amazing opportunity that God has kind of brought in, into my life, not because I'm seeking it out, not because I want to get up here and talk and bore people to death, but because I want him to be glorified. And then, of course, the third major thing that has been a huge blessing to me is just from that big burly man wrapping his arm around me on the side of a hill to basically use that single prayer to reconnect me with 24 Church and bring me and my family here has been a tremendous blessing. And honestly, it's so far beyond what I have time to talk about right now. But, you know, I think we went to church after 20-some years of going to church faithfully in 2014 with all that happened. I think we went to church 6 times. As a family, I was lost. I didn't know what to do. My world had crumbled, and I didn't know what to do. And Jay Pennington, for those of you who hadn't figured it out yet, was used by God to touch my heart, my life, and to invite me to this church. And every one of us have the power to do the same thing and to impact other people's lives. Even the You know, a lot of us see bitter people or hurt people and we get disgusted. That's not a God reaction. That's, you know, we need to look at those people and say, God, what can I do to bless those people? How can I take that bitterness and turn it around? How can I, you know, maybe I can invite them to church. Maybe I can invite them to a serve Sunday or something. Just, you know, let them meet some people, something, anything. Just look for God opportunities. And this reconnecting with 24 has been that for me and my family.
You've shared with me some of your convictions coming out of this about trusting God and how you've seen him work through some of these things and blessings of how God has provided for you, for your family, for your business. Talk to that.
Some pretty amazing stories. And again, when Chris says talk, I opened my talk at the Y with something that got a little bit of a rouse. The people told me up front, they're like, well, they said 5 words, whatever it was, that you never say to an architect, by the way. And that's in terms of presenting my testimony, they said, you have 10 minutes. And I was like, oh, gosh, you can't tell an architect he's got 10 minutes. Architects, yep. One of the blessings that came out of this process in 2013, I had a new employee that was full-time, and he had moved, really God had moved him from Washington State to Middle Tennessee, actually down in Franklin. And we, through God incidences, connected, and he began to work with me at Exoterra. His name is Peter, and he's actually responsible for a lot of the design and the concepts behind this addition. We worked together on it, but I give him credit for his hard work. In 2013, my company was, we were not doing real well. My wife was very sick. I was struggling. I was in and out of the office a lot. And so by the end of the year, financially, you know, we were still in the red as of December 1st. And we talked about Christmas bonuses a little bit, and I was like, I don't know what I'm going to be able to do. I'm already in the red, thousands of dollars, and it's December 1st. And God, it's like God spoke to my heart and said, give him a bonus. And I was like, how am I supposed to do that? Here's facts. Here's spreadsheets. I'm a spreadsheet nerd. Here's spreadsheets. Here's income. Here's red, and it's December 1st. And God said, give him a bonus. And I wrote the check, and I just thought, well, I don't know what kind of Christmas I'm going to have at this point, but I'm going to listen to God. And I wrote him a four-digit check. And then through the month of December, with my wife struggling, we had people sending us gift cards from all over the country. Florida, Virginia, New York, everywhere, North Carolina. People sending us gift cards. We had families stopping by, handing us envelopes filled with cash. And I got through the end of the month, through the holidays, and we got to the first part of January, and I went back and added up all those gift cards, and I added up all the cash, and it was 15% more than the bonus I gave my employee. And I say that not to say, oh, great, how great I am, but God, you will never outgive God. You can't. You can't outgive God. If you will trust him and listen to him and listen to that still small voice, which requires us getting out of the way and closing our mouth and listen, opening our ears, God will tell you things and you will have to do things that maybe don't even make sense. But in the end, you will see his blessing on your life. And that's been my experience, consistently through life, but especially over the last few years.
What are some things that you would recommend to folks that maybe are going through something similar, or maybe just even suffering, may not be anything like what you have been through, but you're on the back side of some of this. I know, you know, this is always going to be a part of your life. But what are some things that you would encourage folks that are going through stuff? What would you say to them?
Number one. And this is almost a no-brainer, but Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. If you will just believe that in your heart, believe that God is faithful, no matter what you're going through, he will show you the end result of it. And it may be pain, it may be suffering, it may be physical disease, but God has a plan, and if you would just hold on to that and trust that, you will see beauty on the other side, and often, almost always, in unexpected ways. Another thing that I just encourage anyone who's struggling or suffering or facing big decisions, just be prepared. Satan, the Bible talks about spiritual warfare, and Satan is an enemy of God, and we know that kind of fundamentally, but Satan will actually rear his ugly head and attack you when you're planning on doing something positive for God. When he knows your heart is right, when he knows you're trying to serve the Lord, be prepared. He's going to attack you, your family, your friends. And I say this because I've just experienced this after I've slept with a CPAP for over 10 years now. For those who don't know what that is, it doesn't really matter, but it's a sleeping device. And so because of that, I don't dream a lot. I don't get a lot of good sleep. It's supposed to help, but I've not dreamed in years. But in the last month, I've had three different dreams, and they were all what I told my wife, Amy. They were all nightmares. They were all attacks. Things that scared me. I'm a big, strong guy, and I don't like to think that I get scared, but these things scared me. And I just knew that here I am lined up. You know, I've been talking with Chris and the staff here at 24 to be able to come up here and do this, to work with Jerry and produce, you know, have this video done. And I knew this was coming, this opportunity to glorify God. And along that path, what comes out of the blue, subtly, but attacks, saying that, you know, you're not good enough. You can't do this. Look at what's running through your mind, whether it's real or not. So just be prepared, you know, and you've got to rely on God. You've got to trust God. And this is the next thing that goes right into that. But in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. That's a proverb, I believe. And the last thing I would encourage anyone that's struggling or suffering is simply don't wallow in the suffering. Don't give in to the suffering. You know, find someone, call a friend, have a pastor from here or anyone just to lay hands on you, to pray for you, and then just believe that this is temporary. Believe that God's going to pull you through this, and he's going to be glorified through your circumstances. Just believe it. And those are definitely the key things that I would say hold on to.
Man, thank you so much for coming and sharing with us today. You guys can understand, you know, putting this out there, putting your life out there, putting your story out there is not always the easiest thing. But here's the truth. God has given each and every one of us a story. And it may be a completely different story than what we're hearing about today. But you've got a story. And the truth is that God created us for His glory, that we would make Him known. And if we're not careful, if we, are just in ourselves, just as humans, especially as sinners, we wouldn't share our story a lot of times. But what happens is when we share these things and we share what God has done through the tough stuff, through the good stuff, whatever, is He's glorified. He's magnified. That's the purpose of our life. And so, Mark, man, thank you so much for letting God be glorified in you guys, in your life. Amy, thank you for sharing this with us, too. Thank you, buddy. Love you. I always made this statement, have made it for years. When we make plans, God laughs. That's so true. And we love plans, and plans are good, and we all have them. Even those of us that are not that organized, we have some plans, right? We're thinking, well, today I'm going to eat, this week I'm going to get this done, and we're going to do this, and sometime this year I'm going to take the family to here, or whatever it is. I think we got to remember that God has a plan. It's real easy for us to make plans and not consider God's plan. And the truth is things like what Mark has shared with us today, there's no getting you ready for that kind of thing. And there's plenty of you that have similar stories of things that you've been through, lost loved ones, are dealing with a disease right now, or whatever it may be, that you could say, God, nothing could prepare me for that. But God does have a plan. And we see other people in Scripture that also deal with God sometimes having a plan that, is insanely crazy and doesn't always make sense to us. And we'd love to, just like we would all love to explain every little thing, and Lord knows I would, but we can't sometimes. And so there's this element of us trusting and being faithful. And we see a family in Scripture in the book of Genesis who was trusting and faithful, but going through something just as crazy as it could possibly be. Now, I don't know if you remember a guy by the name of Abraham. You remember Abraham? There's a little song, Father Abraham, many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. And there's like right hand, left hand, right, left leg, whatever. I don't know why we get it all, but whatever. I don't know what that, I don't know what any of the kicking and the punching has to do with like him having a bunch of sons, but whatever. But the truth is that Abraham and his wife Sarah, for a long time, and again, you go back in Scripture, and at this point in time, people were living much longer than what we're used to hearing about today, crazy amounts of time, and these folks were on up in their years, and they had zero children, because it was deemed that Sarah was barren and she couldn't have kids. And this was a big deal to her. And this was, it was a desire in her heart. It was a desire in their hearts that they would have children. And they had prayed and all this. And they trusted that God would be faithful. And here they are getting older. Okay, not getting younger. They're getting older. Much past birthing age, all that kind of stuff. And then lo and behold, God comes to him one day and he says, guess what? You've been faithful. I'm going to give you a son. And so then there's more time of them waiting. There's been this promise, they're going to have a son. And then finally, she comes up pregnant, and they have a son, and they name him Isaac. And so then they have this son that they've prayed for all this time. And you can imagine how much they must love this boy that they have prayed for and hoped for and all these things. And then you go on into the story, and there comes to Genesis 22, and I'm not going to read it all today, and I encourage you to go read it maybe. Maybe you won't read it today, but Genesis 22, we see God come to Abraham and ask him to do something. Something crazy. I'm talking crazy on a level that, like, you know, Dateline NBC is going to make a show about it if this happened today, okay? Verse 1 of Genesis 22, it says, after these things, God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham, he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son, Isaac. Sound familiar? Only son? Your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So here they are, their son, they prayed for. And God said, I'm going to give you. And God comes to Abraham one day and he says, Abraham, I want you to go and I want you to kill your son as a sacrifice. That's crazy, right? I mean, why would God ever ask anybody to kill their child? It's crazy. Well, before you get too crazy into thinking, oh my gosh, I'm not sure about following God all of a sudden. Listen, here's what happens. As you read through that passage, God sends an angel. At the moment that Abraham gets to this mountain and he and Isaac together have built this thing that he's going to be sacrificed on, and Isaac isn't really in the know on everything going on here, okay? In fact, Isaac's asking, where's the lamb that we're going to sacrifice, Dad? And Abraham just says, God's going to provide it. God's going to provide it. And he gets Isaac on this thing and ties him to this thing and is getting ready to sacrifice his only son. And God sends the angel. And the angel says, Abraham, time out, buddy. Time out. You're not going to kill your son today. You've been faithful. You've been faithful. In fact, if you look at verse 16, it says this. It says, and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you. And I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and as the sand that is on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. You see, God didn't want his son. God wanted his heart. He wanted to seem faithful. Are we faithful? Are we willing to trust him in the middle of the storms? Man, that's so hard, isn't it? You know, you take something like death alone, which, by the way, wasn't a part of the original plan. Death came as a part of sin, the fall of man. I don't know if you realize that or not, but death is kind of our fault, okay? God knew that was going to happen. And because he knew it was going to happen, and because he knew death would come from the very beginning, he had a plan of how to deal with it. Because it's real easy for us to go, well, then why did God do something about death then? Why didn't he just do something about it? Well, he did do something about it. From the get-go, he planned that he would send Jesus, his one and only son, that he would die for us, that we wouldn't have to. Do you know that? Do you know that we don't have to taste death? Jesus did for us. And so if we believe and we trust in Christ to be our Savior, if we trust that he is enough, and that he, and believe me, only he can save us from death, then we shall be saved. Here's the beauty of it. It's not just about death of this life of, you know, these bodies that we live in right now. It's about finding life. We find life in Christ. We're made new creatures in Christ when we believe and we trust in Him. Why? Because God has a plan. What's the plan? Do you know what the plan is? It's real simple. That He is glorified. That He is made known in our life. That's the plan. The plan all along is that God's purpose is that would be that people would know who Jesus is because they know us. My man's doing some walking around today, isn't he? I love that kid, man. He's awesome. It's hard for us to remember in the middle of the suffering that God has a plan. But I just encourage you today that if you're in the middle of the suffering, I encourage you to remember that God has a plan. And you know what? Yeah, some of the stuff that you're going through may be awful, but there's light at the end of that tunnel. This world isn't even it. Jesus is still coming back. I mean, there's so much to what God is going to do that we've not seen, that we don't know. We just know bits and pieces. And we have promises. Promises of God. And in the meantime, we know that part of the plan is that we are actively pursuing God's mission. And that's and I hope that even through the building one stuff, I hope that you're picking up. This isn't about a building. This is about God's mission. This is about the people that God wants us to minister to. I'm not talking about as a entity of 24 church. I'm talking about the body of Christ. And that we would be faithful to that. And I pray that you're praying for us, that you're praying about how you can be faithful to that personally in your life, with the people you work with your family, with your friends, as a part of this church. Jeremiah 29 is one of those passages that so many people always go to when you're talking about God having a plan. And He does have a plan, and He talks about that in that passage of Scripture, and He's speaking to the exiles. But in the midst of also speaking to the exiles, what we see is we see that this isn't just a plan that we just sit back and we just take. And we love these promises, and sometimes a little too much that we want to make them all about ourselves. And it's all about, you know, well, God's got a plan for me. You know, plans for welfare, not for evil, to give me a future and a hope. And all that sounds great and good. But there's more to it than that. If you go back earlier in that passage, there's a call. God calls His people to do something. He calls them to grow gardens, to build houses, to be for the good of their city. That's our calling. That's our calling. That we would be for the good of our city. And let me tell you, I know as crazy as the climate is right now in this world, that that's not easy to do. But we're called to do it. And we got to take that up. And we've got to go. And we've got to love. And we've got to care. And we got to minister to people that are completely different than us, that don't agree with us. It's our call. Folks need Jesus. And guess what? If we love Jesus, then we're supposed to be the ones giving them Jesus. Not putting it up for somebody else to do it. Somebody else will take care of that. Somebody else will do that. Somebody else will share. No. That's for us. That's our call. That's our purpose. That's God's plan. And I encourage you. I encourage you in the midst of whatever may be going on in your life. Remember that and don't forsake it. This morning you may be here and maybe you just honestly say, Chris, I'm not a Christian. I've never trusted in Jesus to be my Savior. I've never believed that He was the Son of God. I've never believed that He was really sent to die for my sins. I want to encourage you today. If God is speaking to your heart today and He's saying, trust me, listen to that. Listen to the Lord. Let Him save you. Let Him change your life. It is truly amazing to get to experience what it is like to live this life in Christ. It's not easy. It's not always some Cinderella story of everything is perfect. In fact, most of the time it is not. Just like Mark said, Satan will attack you. But it is so much better than the alternative. God has a plan. God has a plan, and for some of you, it's for you to do like what Mark has done today. It's to tell your story to someone else. Don't waste the suffering that you've been through. Let God use it for His glory. Let it be used for His plan. Let's pray together.